Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
Hannah learned early that bravery had categories. There was the kind people praised, the kind that showed up in daylight. She had that. She could keep her voice steady when someone else raised theirs. She could walk into unfamiliar places alone. She could take on hard jobs, hard conversations, hard years, and come out looking composed. Then there was the other kind of bravery, the kind that only mattered at night when no one was watching and the room felt subtly wrong. Hannah never bragged about that one because she wasn't sure she had it. Her first memory of fear didn't come from a horror movie or a story told at a sleepover. It came from her own bedroom when she was 8 in a house her mother insisted was safe because it had good locks and a nice neighborhood. Her closet had no doors, just a sheer curtain that hung from a rod, soft and slightly translucent. During the day, it looked harmless, like something chosen for style. At night, with the room dark, it looked like a veil. That night, Hannah woke from a nightmare so sharp it left her breath stuck halfway in. In the dream, a man-shaped shadow stepped through the curtain as if the fabric were smoke. He didn't claw or lunge. He simply walked to the side of her bed and stood there, head angled toward her face, patient and quiet. She woke with the dream still stuck to her skin. She stared at the ceiling, waiting for her heart to slow down enough to think. She told herself it was only sleep. The body did strange things when frightened. The mind painted images that felt real. Then she turned her head toward the closet. Out of the corner of her eye, something shifted, just a retreating movement, like a silhouette pulling back behind the curtain. Hannah's throat tightened. She pulled the blanket up to her chin, not hiding so much as building a barrier she could control. After a long time, she rolled onto her side, facing away, and eventually fell asleep again from exhaustion rather than comfort. In the morning, she didn't mention it. Her mother worked too much and slept too little. Hannah had learned that some things were better handled alone. For years, she held on to one simple explanation. It had been the room. The moment she left that house at 13, she expected the world to correct itself. Instead, the same kind of wrongness found her again, like a familiar smell catching her by surprise. Her mother moved them into the house of the man she was dating, Jack. He was friendly enough, the kind of adult who tried not to intrude on a teenager's life. The house was nothing like their old one. New paint, different street, different sounds. For a while, Hannah slept easily. The relief made her almost giddy. She let herself believe she'd imagined the closet shadow, that it had been childhood fear and nothing more. Then the footsteps started. At first, they made sense. They were heavy and measured, the sound of boots on hardwood, crossing the hallway at night and stopping as if someone had paused outside a door. Jack wore boots constantly. Hannah told herself that was all it was. Ordinary house noise, ordinary people moving through their own space. The illusion broke one afternoon when she came home from school to an empty house. Her mother had left a note. Out running errands. Back soon. Jack was at work. Hannah had the entire place to herself. She lay on her bed with headphones on, music low, scrolling through her phone. A door somewhere down the hall slammed shut hard enough to rattle a picture frame. Hannah sat up, yanking one earbud loose. Then came the footsteps. They began in the hallway, slow, weighted, deliberate. Boots. Again. But there was no rhythm of someone busy, no quick pace of someone rushing to answer a phone. The steps sounded like someone walking simply because they could. They moved toward her room. Hannah didn't scream. She couldn't. Her body went still, as if the part of her that handled emergencies had been unplugged. She held her breath and listened. The footsteps stopped outside her door. Nothing happened after that. No handle turned, no knock, no scrape. Just a pause long enough to feel intentional, and then the footsteps retreated down the hall until the house went quiet again. When her mother came home later, Hannah tried to describe it casually, like she was talking about a draft. Her mother laughed softly. "Houses are loud," she said, "especially when you're alone." Hannah tried to accept that, but the memory stayed sharp because it had felt personal, as if something had walked toward her specifically, then decided it didn't need to prove itself. A few months later, they moved again, just 5 minutes away, into a townhouse with beige carpet and narrow stairs. Hannah hated the idea of another move, but told herself it was another chance to reset. A new space meant a new start. The first few weeks were fine. Then came a night that cemented something Hannah didn't want to believe. Her mother and Jack went out for dinner, leaving Hannah alone. She went upstairs around 9, brushed her teeth, and climbed into bed with the door cracked open. From her bed, she could see a slice of the hallway and, through it, part of her mother's bedroom door across the way. A loud sound came from downstairs. Something dropped or a cabinet shut too hard. Hannah frowned but relaxed. It made sense. They'd come home early. She shut her eyes. A few minutes later, she opened them again because she felt the room shift, an instinctive alertness, like hearing a sound without hearing it. A full-bodied shadow stepped out of her mother's room and walked past Hannah's doorway. It had the right height, the right shape. It moved like someone who lived there. A moment later, it passed again and disappeared back into the bedroom. Hannah turned her head slightly on the pillow, listening for the usual signs of people coming home. Keys, voices, shoes, the clink of something set on a counter. There was nothing. She fell asleep anyway, because disbelief can be a kind of survival. In the morning, she asked her mother as lightly as she could what time they'd returned. Her mother sipped coffee and said, "After midnight, 12:30 maybe. I didn't want to wake you." Hannah felt her stomach drop. She said nothing. She didn't want to see her mother's expression shift into irritation, into concern, into anything that would make it real. She told herself again that it was the townhouse. Old wiring, shadows, sleepiness. But the pattern that followed over the next years wasn't the pattern of a single haunted room. It was the pattern of a presence that understood her routines. Sometimes she'd be downstairs and hear running upstairs, fast steps that stopped abruptly, followed by the slam of a door. Sometimes lights switched on and off in rooms no one had entered. Sometimes she'd set something down, turn away, and find it shifted when she looked back, not missing, not relocated, across the house, just moved enough to make her question her own attention. The worst part wasn't the noises, it was the feeling. the steady, unwavering sense of being watched, not in the corner of her eye, but in the air itself, as if the house had an extra awareness that tracked her from room to room. No one else ever reported it. When Hannah asked her mother if she'd noticed anything strange, her mother shrugged and asked if Hannah was sleeping enough, if school was stressing her out. Jack rolled his eyes and suggested she stop watching scary stuff online. Hannah tried to believe them. She wanted to. By graduation, she had convinced herself she simply had bad luck with homes. Some people had cars that broke down constantly. Some people had landlords who never fixed anything. She had atmospheres, thin spots, places that felt too full. She assumed moving away would solve it. 2 weeks after she relocated to Raleigh, she realized she had been wrong. And for the first time, in a quiet room that didn't belong to her past, Hannah considered the thought she had spent her whole childhood refusing to entertain. Maybe it had never been the houses at all. Maybe it had always been her. The realization didn't arrive all at once. It crept in quietly, settling into Hannah's thoughts the way the presence itself always had, without drama, without announcement. Raleigh was supposed to be different. The house belonged to her aunt and uncle, not a rental churned through strangers. It had light, space, and the constant noise of a three-year-old who filled every room with motion and laughter. Hannah told herself that if something were wrong here, it would have shown itself immediately. For the first few days, nothing happened. She unpacked her things, settled into her new role as Isaac's nanny, learned the rhythms of the household. Mornings were loud, afternoons were busy, evenings were calm in a way that felt earned. Hannah slept better than she had in years, lulled by the normalcy. Then the sounds began. At first, they were easy to dismiss, a thump from the other side of the house while she folded laundry, something clattering softly in a room she'd just left. Hannah paused each time listening, but nothing followed. The house remained still, Isaac asleep, her aunt and uncle at work. She told herself houses made noise. She told herself she was hyper-aware after everything she'd been through, but awareness had a pattern. A week into her stay, she heard something fall in the kitchen while she watched television in the living room. The sound wasn't sharp enough to indicate glass, but it was solid, deliberate. She muted the TV and waited. Silence. When she went to check, nothing appeared out of place. She stood there longer than necessary, heart beating a little faster than it should have, before returning to the couch. The footsteps came a few nights later. A loud bang echoed from the far end of the house, followed by slow, weighted steps across the kitchen tile. They stopped just beyond the threshold of the living room, exactly where Hannah sat. She didn't turn around. She stared at the television screen, which had gone unfocused, and waited for the sound of someone breathing, or the creak of floorboards shifting under real weight. Nothing came. After a moment that stretched too long to be accidental, the steps retreated. Hannah sat there for a long time afterward, unmoving. She recognized the sound immediately. She had heard it in other houses, in other cities. Boots, or something that wanted to sound like boots. The moment that shattered her last remaining denial came on an ordinary afternoon. Isaac was down for his nap, and the house was quiet in the way only homes with young children ever were, a quiet that felt temporary, earned. Hannah moved through the kitchen, wiping counters and loading the dishwasher. When she opened the refrigerator, a bottle of wine launched outward with sudden force. It struck her shin, then her foot, before hitting the floor and rolling away. Hannah gasped and staggered back, pain blooming sharply. She stared at the bottle in disbelief, her hands shaking. It hadn't slid. It hadn't tipped. It hadn't fallen. It had been pushed. The bruise formed quickly, darkening over the next few days. Hannah caught herself touching it absently, as if needing proof that what had happened was real. This wasn't a sound or a shadow or a misinterpreted movement. This was contact. Something had crossed from observation into interaction. She didn't tell her aunt. She didn't want questions she couldn't answer. Instead, she watched. And what she noticed disturbed her almost as much as the incident itself. The house reacted to her state of mind. When Hannah moved calmly through her day, focused on Isaac, grounded in routine, The disturbances faded. When she grew anxious, tired, or emotionally raw, they returned. A sound here, a door closing too hard. The subtle sensation of someone standing just outside her awareness. It wasn't constant. It wasn't aggressive. It was responsive. That realization reframed everything she'd experienced. She thought back to her childhood bedroom, the curtain that shifted only when she noticed it, the footsteps that approached her door and then stopped, the shadow that mimicked someone familiar enough not to send her running immediately. Whatever this was, it didn't announce itself. It adapted. One evening after Isaac was asleep, Hannah asked her aunt carefully if she'd ever noticed anything unusual in the house. Her aunt hesitated, then admitted that when Hannah first moved in, things had felt off. A door closing on its own. A strange noise at night. "But it stopped," her aunt said. "I figured it was stress or adjustment." That answer landed like a weight in Hannah's chest, and it had stopped because it wasn't interested in the house. Later that night, Hannah sat on the edge of her bed and tried to remember the first time she'd felt watched. Not frightened, noticed. The memory stretched back farther than she wanted to admit. It wasn't tied to a place. It wasn't tied to age. It was tied to awareness. She wasn't cursed. She wasn't special. She wasn't chosen. She was receptive. The thought frightened her more than any shadow ever had. Hannah realized something else in those quiet hours. The presence had never spoken to her, never revealed itself fully. Never demanded acknowledgement. It borrowed familiarity, appearing as people she expected to see, moving in ways that blended into normal life. And when she questioned it, it withdrew. That suggested boundaries. She hadn't been powerless all those years. She had simply never known where the edges were. That night, Hannah sat upright in bed and spoke aloud, her voice trembling but steady. "I know you're there," she said, "but you don't get to hurt me." The air in the room felt dense, like a held breath. Then it eased. Nothing dramatic followed, no sound, no movement, just the subtle sensation of space settling back into itself, as if something had stepped away. Hannah didn't feel victorious. She felt anchored. From that moment on, she changed the way she lived. She stopped tiptoeing. She turned on lights without hesitation. She moved through rooms deliberately. Refusing to whisper or rush, she didn't provoke or investigate, but she didn't retreat either. Fear, she learned, was not the same as respect. And respect did not require surrender. The change didn't happen overnight. Hannah had half expected some dramatic response, an escalation, a final confrontation, a surge of activity meant to punish her for asserting herself. That was how these stories usually went, at least the ones she'd heard or read in moments of sleepless curiosity. Instead, the house remained mostly quiet, as if it were considering her. Days passed, then weeks. There were still moments that made her pause, a soft sound in another room, the sense of a presence hovering just beyond the edge of perception. But those moments no longer spiraled into fear. They came and went like background noise, noticeable but not commanding. What unsettled her most was how familiar the silence felt. It was the same kind of quiet that followed her childhood attempts to reason away what she'd seen. The same calm that came after she'd forced herself to accept explanations that never fully fit. Only now it felt intentional, not imposed. Hannah began to think about how much of her life had been shaped by vigilance. She had always been the one who noticed changes in mood before arguments broke out. The one who sensed when a room felt wrong, when a conversation was about to turn, when someone was hiding something painful behind practiced smiles. Friends told her she was intuitive. Teachers said she was perceptive. Employers praised her awareness. She had never considered that these traits might be connected to the fear she'd carried. If she was honest with herself, the presence had never truly harmed her, until the wine bottle. And even then, it hadn't chased or cornered her. It hadn't followed up. It had tested a boundary she hadn't known existed. Once she defined that boundary, it respected it. That realization didn't make her comfortable, but it did make her curious in a way that felt healthier than fear. She stopped asking whether something would follow her forever and started asking how much control she had always possessed without realizing it. The answer, it seemed, was more than she'd believed. Hannah spoke with her aunt again one evening, this time more openly. She described the footsteps and the sounds, not dramatizing them, not apologizing for them either. Her aunt listened quietly, nodding slowly. "You're sensitive," she said finally. "Some people are. That doesn't mean you're meant to carry everything you notice." That phrasing stayed with Hannah. Carrying? She had spent years carrying fear as if it were proof of awareness, as if letting it go would mean losing something essential about herself. Now she understood that awareness didn't require weight. It didn't require sacrifice, and it required discernment. Over time, Hannah learned to check in with herself instead of the space around her. When she felt uneasy, she asked what she was reacting to. Fatigue, stress, unresolved emotion, before assuming an external cause. Often, that was enough to quiet the sensation. Not always. There were still nights when she woke suddenly, heart racing for no clear reason. Still moments when she sensed she wasn't entirely alone. But those moments passed more quickly now, fading when she grounded herself in the present. She learned that attention could be an invitation, and silence could be a boundary. Months later, after Isaac had fallen asleep and the house settled into its nighttime rhythm, Hannah sat alone in the living room, lights on, a book open in her lap. She realized she wasn't listening for sounds anymore. She wasn't cataloging sensations or bracing for impact. She was simply existing. That, more than anything, felt like victory. Hannah eventually moved into her own place again. The apartment was small, quiet, and unremarkable. The first night she slept there, she left the lights off on purpose, not as a challenge, but as a test. The darkness stayed neutral. The room stayed empty. She slept deeply. In the weeks that followed, nothing followed her. Or perhaps it did, but no longer found a foothold. Hannah understood now that the question she'd asked years earlier, "Is this going to follow me for the rest of my life?" The better question was simpler and far more powerful. "What do I allow to stay?" She didn't deny what she'd experienced. She didn't rewrite her past to make it easier to explain. She accepted that some people were more open to the unseen, just as some people were more sensitive to sound or emotion or pain. But openness didn't mean obligation. If something noticed her now, it no longer felt like a threat. It felt like an echo, something that existed only as long as it was acknowledged. And Hannah had learned finally that she could choose where her attention lived. She still described herself as brave, but the definition had changed. Bravery wasn't the absence of fear or even the confrontation of it. Bravery was the decision not to let fear dictate the shape of her life. It was choosing to be present instead of vigilant. Choosing to inhabit her own space fully without apology. Whatever had once followed her no longer defined her. And if it lingered somewhere at the edges of perception, watching quietly as it always had, it did so without power, reduced to a possibility rather than a presence. Hannah closed her book, turned off the lamp, and went to bed. The room remained still. And for the first time in as long as she could remember, that stillness felt complete.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.